Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaker Mike Johnson is updating folks on the shutdown. Of course, a lot of press being done today on Capitol Hill, and there is a Senate vote that's supposed to take place soon, and we're waiting to find out if the Senate Democrats are going to, at least a handful of them, are going to cross over and make it so that the government can reopen before the weekend. You will get that news as soon as it happens right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Our YouTube poll for today is, how long have you listened to 97.1 FM Talk? Are you brand new, less than a year, 1 to 5 years, or 5 plus years? I started listening to 97.1. My friend who you know, Ryan, Tim did your egress windows.
Yeah.
GHR.
What's really funny is when he did my windows, I did not know he knew you. And he's like, oh, I kind of know Annie Fry. And then I found out, oh, he's like your really good friend.
Yeah, like he's Charlie's godfather.
Uh-huh.
He's my longest friend. I love him dearly. But I remember when we were in college, I was delivering. I used to work at a medicine shop pharmacy as a pharmacy technician. And I remember him telling me at one point, like, oh, you got to check out the station, 97.1. And I think at the time, like, I remember driving at night one time and I just was like, oh, Tim said something about 97.1. So I popped it on. It was Michael Savage. And I was like, whoa. This is a heavy lift. But, you know, listening to the station, specifically Dave Glover, who was on in the afternoon, Dave would always be on during my deliveries at the medicine shop when I was taking medicine to people at their homes. And I just kind of started to listen at that point. So it would have been maybe 2005-ish. So not at the very beginning of the station, but the station was still considered a very young station at that time. But I was definitely a listener before I finally got a job here after I'd graduated with my communications degree. It's weird that that's the word I would stumble over, communications. Hired in 2009 and, of course, have been here ever since. But I was a listener before I was ever employed here. I think I appreciate that part of my journey through here.
Me too. In fact, it's funny because Trisha, who is on the show all the time, she said that one of the reasons that 97.1 probably feels authentic, and this is off the air stuff, I'm probably sharing it, I don't even know if I should, is that a lot of us are not radio people. We might have a communications background, but we're not necessarily doing this because we're professional, polished radio people. We all believe in some part of the cause.
Yeah.
And we're all very passionate about it.
Yeah.
And so it's real.
Yeah. Jeff, who was the person who hired me originally, was always like focused on getting good people here. And he's like, I can teach you the radio stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And I always appreciated that. Now, I knew a little bit of radio because I had done that for 3 years before I came here in sports talk radio. But it's always been about getting good and right people to do the job. You want to read a couple comments before we get to what I missed?
Yeah, let's start with this one from Ender, who says, I'd have to say 5 plus years is how long he's listened. Started listening not too long after I moved here, but was never properly dedicated until the Annie Fry Show became
properly
a thing.
Properly dedicated.
Now he's properly dedicated.
We do care a lot about being proper.
Yes, we do.
Especially during noon to three.
Thank you, Ender. Here's the next one from Frank. He says, I have to admit, listening to 97.1 was the beginning of the end of my association with the Democrat Party.
Woo!
Well, hello there. And Storm Crow says, started listening after we moved from Idaho. Well, I'll just keep highlighting these as we go.
We'll just assume that they moved to St. Louis for 97.1 from Idaho.
Yeah.
I think is a safe bet.
You could stream it there now, but maybe back then.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been. Streaming would have been as big of a deal.
Right.
Idaho. All right, let's get to what I missed over the course of the week.
What did I miss?
Okay, for those of you who haven't been listening to us for 5+ years, this is the segment where I go back over the audio that Annie may have missed over the past week. The first clip that I have here is Hillary Clinton, and she's talking. She stirred up a dust storm. Annie, go ahead and play that.
That you could turn the clock back and try to recreate a world that never was, dominated by, you know, let's say it, white men of a certain persuasion, a certain religion, a certain point of view, a certain ideology. It's just doing such damage to what we should be aiming for. And we were on the path toward that. I mean, imperfectly, lots of, you know, bumps along the way. But I agree with you. We were on the right trajectory.
So Hillary Clinton there is basically saying that what we're trying to do as a country is get back to where white men of a certain religion, and it's pretty obvious which religion she's talking about there. I would say she's talking about the Christian religion, are trying to take back control over the country. And I don't understand what the obsession is with blaming white dudes for everything. Ryan, I don't know if you feel this way, but you kind of look at it, you go, oh, here we go again. What do we do this time? Kind of shrug and you know, throw it off. But really, honestly, what we're trying to get back to is a country where family values are important. That
is that a white man value?
It isn't. It isn't. And I don't understand why she says that, other than they need a boogeyman.
I mean, what she's saying is almost full on like spiritual warfare stuff.
It's bad.
She's saying we do not want this country to be run by Christians, ultimately, is what she's getting at. Now she throws in white
men. I know
men.
A lot of people who are Christian who are not white as
I
well.
Do too. Mm-hmm. I do too. And I think that's why you've seen such a split over the last few years of people going, wait a minute, maybe the politics aren't mirroring my values
right
the way that they had in the past. And it's just weird that Donald Trump is the president when he's not necessarily any sort of spiritual leader at all, but that the values of the country, the Christian values of the country, he definitely defends those.
Scoot says, does Mr. Rain share any white male values? Just as an addition to that, to the both of you, what are white male values?
White male values. I think Brad probably epitomizes that more. Brad.
Oh, well, I hope I answer this the right, or you guys understand what I'm saying in this. I'm a white male, and therefore all the values that I hold would be classified as a white male value because a white male holds them. That doesn't make them unique to me as a white male, but as a white male, that makes all my values white male values.
I don't know. I know a lot of white males who also don't necessarily agree with the way that I would think or Brad would think either.
Yeah.
So it's tough to classify.
And those would be white male values as well because it's a white male holding those values.
I'm a lady. I don't have anything to say.
You don't have an opinion on that.
And by the way, yes, a lady.
A lady.
I heard you say that.
Ooh.
I was going to say something about it, but.
What? Go ahead and say what's on your mind.
No, it's all right.
Go say what's on your mind. You're white male. You can do whatever you want, baby.
Yeah. You got male privilege.
Seems as if, you know what's funny? All right, fine. Since we're talking about how long have you listened and all that stuff, right?
Oh, boy.
When I first started on this show, I don't remember what the context was for asking this question. It was probably an Ask Me Anything or something like that. And I said,
did you say something stupid?
Oh, yeah. And I said, and I think about this sometimes as for the evolution of the show to think where we've come from, where we are now. So I'll ask you this question and see if you would answer it now the same way as you did.
So this is a vivid memory that you have.
Uh-huh.
And I have no idea what you're about to say.
No, I know you don't. I asked you this question like right after I started. So it was about 6 years ago. And I know how you answered it. And so I'll ask you now. Do you ever use your phone while you're on the toilet?
I don't know how I would have answered it before. Yes, probably.
So you said yes, probably. That's what I thought. Now that shows real growth. Because back then you said a lady would never tell. And I thought
she was right.
I bet she'd answer that
down,
question.
People, yes. I've dealt with you for this long. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't even get to close the door when I go to the bathroom. Oh. And
that's,
I mean,
frustrating.
Like, to, what you need to understand is that when men talk about using the phone while you're on the toilet, that is a specific set of circumstances that is not applicable to a female who is on a toilet.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Do you sit down to pee?
What? What?
If you're using, if a man is using a phone while they're sitting on the toilet, that's implying that a certain thing is happening.
Ah, I see what you're saying now.
Now, yeah, because so I'd draw
woman,
you a picture.
Okay, so for a woman, it could be a variety of things.
Yes.
You could just be hiding in there from your kids.
I've tried. It doesn't work. They come in. They sit in front of the glass door shower and they're like, hey, mom, just want to spend time with you. Love you. And you're like, oh, my God.
Yep. I remember those days. My son would do that.
They just want to be near you.
He's playing with cars just in the bathroom.
Molly, at 4, is in this phase where she wants to be, like, she gets tired. As soon as she gets into, okay, she's going to sleep mode, she wants to be held. She just, it's like surface area. She needs the full surface area of her body to be in contact with me or Jared. And it was always Jared. And then 3 months ago, now it's always me. And I'm like, I'm not cut out for this. Like, at the end of the day, the amount of touch that you go through during, and I just need a little bit of decompression. And then she's like, Mom, I just want to be by you. And I'm like, okay, sweetie, come here. And then I hold her and I love it. But it's just like, this was a Jared thing. I don't know what she, Jared says that I turned them at this age. I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound nice. What I miss.
Sounds accurate.
All right, let's get back to what I miss. Annie, the next cut I want to talk about is Joy Reid. And you know how the left is always calling everybody fascist. Well, Joy Reid went on a show and she explained exactly what the fascist agenda is.
Is that if you go back before the 20th century, there were no income taxes, there were no regulations on business. You could earn as much money as you want, leave 100% of it to your children with no taxes.
Right.
That's the world they want back. And to get it back, they need society to change. They need people to be less modern. They need people to want fewer things.
I like that groove. What if we did that through our whole show?
We would be NPR. That's what they do.
Then I might be in favor of the Democrats who want to fund it again.
They have those long outros that just are jazz.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
I've never intentionally listened to NPR.
I will listen. Not, I haven't in a while, but I used to every now and then. And I go through phases where I will just to hear what, you know, what's the opposing side saying.
I curiosity listen to other things, but it ain't NPR.
It ain't that.
So Joy Reid says that fascism is no income tax, no inheritance tax. You can make as much money as you want.
Keep your money.
Yeah, and you can keep it.
I couldn't believe, I saw this quote. I didn't see the clip, which is the music. But I saw the transcript of this written on Twitter, and I almost couldn't believe that it was real. I thought, I need to actually listen to that at some point to make sure it's not being taken out of context. But it's not. She's actually saying that these fascists want you to have more freedom for less taxes. I mean, I don't really know what to do with that.
They want to build something and they want to leave all of it to their children.
They want you to not even touch their money at all. Fascists.
So that's fascism, apparently.
We're gonna build generational wealth.
Why are we so historically illiterate? Like, I
yeah, who's we?
I don't know who we is. You can speak for yourself, Brad.
Well, as a country, I sit here and I listen to people like with big platforms or who used to have big platforms get on and say stuff that is so completely historically inaccurate. And I can't help but think to myself, these are the kids that were in class with me where I'm like watching and like, this is
where you
amazing.
Say something super offensive about theater kids again?
No. These are the kids that fell asleep through history class and then wake up and decided they were going to be experts on fascism.
Theater kids?
I don't know about theater kids.
You've said a lot.
Yeah,
you went
listen,
in.
No. Yeah, I.
Which
I,
section of which, I stand which group by, of kids do you hate at high school, Ryan?
I liked everybody.
What was the club you tried to put together that got nixed?
Oh, you remember that?
Oh,
we haven't talked about that for a long time. This is real. The Happy Fun Club for Self-Esteem.
He tried to get that established as an official club at Collinsville, and you couldn't get a sponsor?
I couldn't get a teacher to sponsor it.
That's
terrible.
Were
like, we're not really taking you seriously. And I'm like, well, I'm taking me seriously.
Sounds like you wouldn't be in our club.
You're hurting my self-esteem right now.
I was like, ouch.
This is evidence that this club is in need.
Exactly.
Let's do one more.
All right. So this last one here is, her name is Becky Weiss, and she just wants to tell you this about the Netflix series.
Well, specifically to the Netflix series, what we're talking about here is we've covered several stories this week. There is a lot of content that is geared towards children, specifically like all ages, and they are very pro LGBTQ plus blah, 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 IA, whatever messaging. And it's not just like, okay, here's a gay couple in a cartoon. The content and the purpose of the storyline is specifically geared towards kids, and the nature with which their orientation might be focused, including transgender themes and like choosing your gender and all of that. And Becky Weiss is a lesbian, and she just physically, she's wearing like gray cargo pants, a white t-shirt. She's got short hair. And the only reason I say this is because I think in this clip, she several times refers to how she looks. So that's just what she looks like in this clip.
Hey, just real fast, since it's going around right now, if you allow your children to watch children's shows with pro-LGBTQ messaging, you are not being a rock star all-inclusive ally. You are grooming them. And I say that as someone who looks like this. My son is not allowed to watch anything with pro-LGBTQ messaging in it. Well, gee, Becky, why is that? Aren't you gay? Super duper yes, but to teach a child that they can be gay, lesbian, bi, pan, yada, 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 is to imply that children are sexual beings capable of having an orientation. Let that simmer for a second. Why would a child need to consider their orientation? Furthermore, why would adults want to create and promote shows to help seven-year-olds establish their orientation? No, you got it wrong. It's to teach inclusivity. Negative, dumb. It is not age-appropriate education. There are precisely zero reasons why a seven-year-old should ask themselves the question, am I gay? So if someone calls you homophobic because you do not allow your children to watch shows with pro-LGBTQ messaging, please just keep in mind that I look like this, and it is not allowed in my house. I am, like, low-key a little homophobic, though.
Ryan, are you gay? Super duper yes. She's funny.
Yeah.
Brad?
So what she's saying there, and I couldn't get behind her more, it's 100% okay to say, hey, I don't want to introduce my children to these topics at this point in their life. They're children. Let them be children. They don't have sexual thoughts. That's all just, I don't know. If you think that children have sexual thoughts, I think that's weird. And so I think she's saying what all of us have been thinking, and she made it easy for us to say it because she is a member of the LGBTQ community.
I'm not sure that figuring out your orientation is something that is
an active thought process.
Right.
It's, yeah. Like, even when you get to that age, I'm sure that if you're among the minority of people, if everybody's going one way, you're going the other way, that's a little confusing. But I don't know that we need mass messaging to the extreme minority, which is what we do with basically every issue in this country right now.
We'll get Ethan's thoughts on it next.
Ethan?
Probably not. But maybe some sports and local here on the Annie Fry Show. Do not go away, and please come tell us how long you've listened to 97.1 FM Talk. Are you brand new? Welcome if you are. You've been listening for less than a year, 1 to 5 years, or 5+ years, and we'd love to hear your story of how you came to find 97.1 in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat. We'll keep reading some of those comments as we move through the day. Chris said, regarding the poll, I started listening after 9/11, started with Dave Glover. That's cool, Chris. We're glad you're here. We'll be right back.
Seasons change.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Check it out. Sports and local.
Ethan Berger with an extra side of ETH.
Ew.
Nice. They're all random now.
I love that.
Never know what's going to play now.
What do you got for us today, Ethan?
St. Louis County Executive Sam Page, everyone's favorite county executive.
He seems really popular.
Well, it's amazing what breaking the law will do for you.
Okay.
He wants to use $59 million in Rams settlement funds to help cover a growing deficit in next year's budget. St. Louis County faces a $61 million hole.
No,
and it's...
just do better at your job.
Yeah, that could work too.
I'm talking to you, Ryan.
Oh. I've overspent my $61 million.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many million dollars
Ryan's doing
Ryan
literally
Wiggins
nothing.
Put Odyssey there. In the hole.
What would Ryan's $61 million budget look like?
Listen, I require a lot in the green room. And
we have a green room?
Yeah. All the stuff in my green room is built into my salary. And if that comes to $61 million, it comes to $61 million. I don't know. I just make the requests.
And they always accept.
Yes, they
okay.
do.
Okay, good to know.
So he wants to take a big chunk of change from the NFL screwing St. Louis over.
Correct.
And put it because we can't manage our money.
Correct.
Stupid.
St. Louis County faces a $61 million hole in its general funds.
I was willing to give the full amount of the NFL money and the St. Louis Arch for Shohei Ohtani. Just want people to know that. For some reason, this organization wasn't interested in that trade.
It is good, though, that it seems like we've solved some financial crises because of the Rams leaving. We just need the Rams to keep leaving.
Yeah, come back and screw us over again.
Yeah.
Up from a $38 million deficit that was originally predicted, and he also expects a $20 million shortfall in the health fund. My question is, why would you want to use $59 million when you expect to be $61 million? What's the extra $2
million? Ooh, sounds
Anyone?
Like another scandal.
Anyone?
Shipping and handling.
Skeptical. Page said that his recommended overall budget would reflect a $100.7 million decrease or 8.4% decrease from 2025.
So annoying.
You guys fans of Katie's Pizza? You guys had the chance to go to any of those restaurants?
Heard wonderful things.
I have not had the chance.
There's one in Ballpark okay. Village, and there's a couple in the St. Louis area. Well, now, St. Louis-based Katie's Pizza is going to be entering the competitive frozen pizza aisle in Target stores nationwide. And this is actually a pretty cool story. I saw this article and was reading a little bit about the owner of Katie's Pizza. Her name's Katie Lee. And before she, you know, got to where she is now with the success they're having with these restaurants, she was actually a high school dropout and experienced homelessness. It was wow. quoted here wow. saying, "When I was homeless, everything I owned would have fit into one of Target's shopping bags. Now I've made it to their shelves with Katie's Pizza." Leah's been shattering expectations for restaurant quality pizza at home through steadily gaining traction by partnering with some regional grocery store outlets as well as online delivery service. And she credits her success to the COVID-19 pandemic. The fear of closing her restaurants inspired her to create a line of frozen pizzas based on her popular restaurant pizza offerings. So congratulations to Katie's Pizza. And
we'll check it out. It's
Katie
nice to get
Lee,
the
yeah.
local stuff yeah. out of the frozen food aisle.
And it's pretty good. I've only been once, but I would like to go more. I mean, it's right across from the ballpark, so it feels like a pretty easy option. Good spot for it.
Sounds like the backstory of Halsey, except with pizza instead of singing.
Thank you, Ryan.
Hope Grandma's not listening anymore.
She's a huge Halsey fan, so I was trying to drop that in there.
Knows all the songs.
As far as a quick look ahead to...
Do you even know who Halsey is?
Heck yeah. I know all of her songs. Like Without Me, Control, Walls Could Talk,
he's
Colors.
Like you're reading
he's on,
them.
He's on Google.
Bad at Love. Oh, I do know that one.
Sing your favorite one. Sing your favorite one. Just a few lines so the people who don't know Halsey can go, oh, yeah, that's it. I recognize
Without
that.
Without me. That's her most famous one. Come on.
Sure. I'll do Gasoline because I know that one better. I've been making dreams. Dreams like gasoline.
I could do this
if
all
these walls could talk, I'd be without me.
Is this close?
And I'm bad at love.
Okay.
Gas, and I've been I've been on my dreams.
Gas.
Yeah, you're good at that.
What? Bad at love
and
because
I've been
you have
making
gas?
Gasoline. And I've been making dreams.
How do we get paid to do this?
I used to really be on the streets.
Wow.
Next.
It's so unfair. Looking
Dad,
ahead.
Are you proud?
Looking ahead.
Wiggins.
Looking ahead in college football this week.
You know, it's amazing you didn't go further in vocal.
I know.
Arts.
I should do a band.
You
That'll be our first song.
I should do a band.
It's what musicians do, don't they? They do bands. You guys want to do a band? Sure. We're all musicians.
I'll have to
Let's
take your word for it. Okay.
Looking ahead.
Joe
oh my gosh.
It'll never stop. You got to plow through.
Looking ahead in college football this week, the Illinois Fighting Illini are heading.
I-L-L.
Anyone? I-N-I.
Come on.
Thank you.
They're heading on the road to West Lafayette, Indiana this week to face Purdue. 11 o'clock kickoff on the Big Ten Network. Mizzou has the weekend off. They host Alabama next weekend, and Lindenwood is hosting Tennessee Martin this upcoming weekend.
What's Notre Dame doing?
What is Notre Dame doing this week? They put the beat down on Arkansas last week.
Oh, that was a
whoopin'. They might have the week off here. I'm not seeing them on the schedule. I'll confirm that later.
I don't even know. I have to work my weekend around it, though.
Yeah, well, I thought that Jared recorded them.
Yeah, which
them
means
later.
We go do the things that people do, and then we have to come home no matter the time and watch recorded football.
You have to watch it with him, though? Oh, they play Boise State. That'll be fun. 2:30. What do you got at 2:30 this
Boise
week?
Boise State?
No.
Isn't that the blue field?
It is the blue field.
Oh, God.
It's more fun to bet on when it's recorded.
You trying to get an advertiser? You're not going to do well like this. Somebody clip that. I need that in my back pocket. Be like, guys, next.
I'm betting on Gene Keady.
You got one more story?
Yeah. This came out last week. Every new data center in St. Louis will have to meet new requirements before construction begins.
Ryan, why do you hate that?
I didn't even hear what he said.
You're not listening?
This is following Mayor Spencer's announcement that she'll be signing an executive order focused on the developments. She already signed that executive order. Spencer's new order requires data centers to hold public hearings and obtain a conditional use permit or prove the center won't threaten public welfare or safety before starting construction. The order will also develop a framework to include data center developments under the city's zoning code and water code for the next several months.
All right. Thank you, Ethan. With a side of Eve.
Ethan Berger with a side of Eve.
Ethan
right.
Berger.
Show some respect.
All right. We got some good questions coming in for next question. We'll do that in the 2 o'clock hour. Let's touch in and see where the vote is from the Senate. See if those Democrats are going to cross over and reopen the government. Yes or no. We'll get to the update next. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You pay attention to the stock market at all?
Loosely.
That was inching towards 47,000.
Yep.
I looked at my 401k and there was it like 4 days where the Democrats were like, how's your 401k now? It was right after Liberation Day, April 2nd, when Donald Trump implemented his tariffs and then the stock market went. And then it's now getting close to 47,000. So I wonder where all the leftist, how's your 401k doing now people are. I bet they're checking their 401k and...
And happy with it?
Yeah.
You know what the highest the Dow has ever been?
This?
It was on October 2nd, 2025.
What was it?
That was yesterday. 46,519.
So it's this.
This is it.
Fox is reporting the Dow is at 46,842 right now. Up a little over 300 points. So if you're somebody who likes to check your stocks or your 401k when it's looking good, you might want to just give it a little Friday look-see and thank Donald Trump. The vote is taking place right now, I believe. Can you pull up the... does the Senate have their own YouTube channel? They do, don't they?
I see what I can find.
Just see it, like, or the C-SPAN version of it, just to kind of listen in. They need like five Democrat senators to cross over. Do you expect them to do that? I think the majority of me expects Democrats, there to be five moderate Democrats in the Senate right now that are like, this is going not well. We can get it done and get it over, start a new fresh news week next week.
Well, they need five more than the three that have already have. So I don't know if they're going to get eight because I think Rand Paul is always a wild card in there too. But no, I don't expect that they're going to get it unless there's been some major, you know, back channel dealing that we have not been privy to. I don't see anything changing with this vote. In fact, this is sort of reading the tea leaves here a little bit, but if there was something major happening with this shutdown right now and the Senate vote, I think Fox would be carrying it, you know, on the big screen, not on the small screen. I don't think that anything major's happened yet. That's my guess.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier. There's no like vote that's super bad radio to sit there and listen to a if they do a roll call of names, they don't always have to do a roll call of names either. There's different ways you can vote. But waiting to find out what actually materializes from this vote. But to Ryan's point, it's not like they're not covering it live from the Senate floor. They're also not talking about that story on Fox right now at all. So they are waiting to see what happens, and then I guess they'll dip back in. Listen to this from Senator Chris Murphy. This guy, he's from Connecticut. People talk about him having presidential aspirations or whatever. He doesn't stick out to me at all. He doesn't make an impression on me at all. Certainly not in any likable way, but he's a Democrat, and usually what he's advocating for is opposed to what I would want to have actually materialize and happen. But he doesn't have that attention getting, that charisma that you kind of need to, on a national scale, have people go, he should lead the country. Here he is talking to, what's that guy's name? Jim Acosta.
People want to see us fighting. They want to see us have a backbone. They want to know how we're different from Donald Trump. And, you know, when we don't fight hard, especially when the entire enterprise of democracy is at risk, then we don't seem sincere when we tell people that there might not be a free and fair election in 2026. People say, well, if that's the case, why were you so eager to sign on to a budget that funded the destruction of democracy? So what we're doing here is, you know, protecting our constituents, but we're also signaling to people how urgent the moment is by being willing to hold the line here.
So when you listen to Senator Murphy from Connecticut, they're talking to Jim Acosta about this issue, and you hear what he's actually saying. His point is that what they're doing right now, the reason they're doing what they're doing right now is because voters want to see that the Democrats are up for the fight. He didn't actually say anything about what the Republicans were offering that they were opposed to. He just said it's important that they fight. So I guess, you know, at least in that clip, maybe there's context in a broader level that where he is a little bit more detailed and it's just not in that clip. So I'll leave room for broader context to explain like the hows and whys of the fight. But he is saying right here that the fight is what Democrats need to see. But what is the fight for? He talks about free and fair elections. Has the coin flipped completely on this issue of watching what the Democrats were saying leading into the 2024 election, but certainly coming out of the 2020 election? This is the most safe and secure election we've ever had. The only time they were out there saying that was when their guy won. That Hillary Clinton is still talking about why the 2016 election wasn't fair and why Russia, you know, her book is called What Happened. The entire book is why, is explaining why she lost, and nothing has to do with her. It's all the systems and everything that's up against her that caused that election to not be fair. I mean, they have said that Donald Trump is not the rightful winner of that election. They tried to. You remember the commercials of all the really, really, really valuable, smart celebrities who wanted the electors to cast votes in the other way. You might thinking I'm talking about in 2020. You might be thinking I'm talking about 2020 near the January 6th situation where they were talking about alternate electors, alternate slates, and blah, 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 blah. No, I'm talking about Hillary Clinton. I'm talking about going into the Christmas season. Put yourself in this position once again. I don't know if you guys were in the same place as I was. I was steeped in it because I was working here. You guys were soon to be working in this. Donald Trump wins the election in 2016, and everybody who voted for him was near speechless. We just had jaws dropped, and you're like side-eyeing people like, did you see that? Did I see that right? Did Donald Trump just win? Did Hillary Clinton just lose? Is Donald Trump going to be President Donald Trump? I remember thinking in my head, President Trump? Like, I even have to say that out loud 100 times before it even comes naturally to me. So he wins in November, and I felt like I held my breath for probably until he was inaugurated, thinking something is going to undo this. This can't possibly be. They said on Election Day that Hillary Clinton had a 97% chance of winning the election. Marching into Christmas. It was the Christmas season. Donald Trump was the president-elect. Everybody who had paid attention to this nasty election leading up to it was on the edge of their seat to see what was going to happen next. I believe the date in my head is December 22nd, is when the electors were to cast their vote. We had like 3 days of knowing for sure Donald Trump is going to be the president of the United States before we celebrated the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was a great Christmas. But I mean, you spent a lot of time looking at each other going, are you serious? And then Hillary Clinton spent all of the year since then explaining why she got screwed and why the system was against her and why it wasn't really a fair election. Oh, but then we had one where the Democrats won, and it was not only a fair election, it was the most fair election we've ever had.
And the weirdest at the same time somehow.
Yes, yes.
But we needed to be reassured. This was the best election ever.
The most secure. And then Donald Trump wins in 2024, and they're back to, they're literally saying here, it's the same year he's been inaugurated. They're like, they're not going to have a fair election coming up. And we got to fight right now to prove that we're in the game. Okay.
Look, if Chris Murphy wants to bring up specific examples.
Go for it.
Please.
Yes.
I mean, this is what we've been saying for 5 years. Bring specifics and then let them be examined.
Let's take a quick break. In the 2 o'clock hour, next question, you get to ask us anything. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Oh, man, I'm happy it's Friday. Oh, you got big plans for the weekend?
My big plans are that I'm doing nothing for the first time in a couple weekends. And then next weekend, I got to travel again for a soccer tournament. So I love this weekend.
Same on the weekend plans. It is homecoming, so excited to get my son all ready for homecoming. That'll take 5 minutes. It's not really a huge endeavor. It's difficult to figure out what to send boys to a dance these days. Girls for homecoming. You said you didn't go to homecoming.
No, I never did.
Brad, did you go to your homecoming?
Nope.
Gosh, this is a hard conversation to have. When I was in high school in the 90s and in the early 2000s, I graduated in 2002. We wore long formals for homecoming, which was the fall dance. Snowball was the winter formal. And then there was prom for the juniors and seniors. Prom was always...
I went to prom.
The most formal. Did you wear a tux?
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to prom?
Yeah.
Did you wear a tux?
Yes.
So... I know that there are some schools, CM is one of them. I don't, Ethan can maybe weigh in on this in a minute, but CM's fall formal, I think, the girls all wear like hoop dresses, like huge formal dresses, which is cool and fun and everything. But now it's like homecoming for girls is cocktail dresses.
Mm-hmm.
They're really short. And I don't have a girl yet that's going through this, but I feel like don't these girls, I'm looking at the three of you going, why am I having this conversation in this room? There's really nothing you can add to the conversation that's probably appropriate. But like, don't you want to wear long formal dresses? You never get to do that in life. You can wear cocktail dresses when you go to bachelorette parties and go to college and stuff. Like, that's what they all wear now, that and tennis shoes.
I think it's just crazy that, I mean, these girls are like 15 and 16 years old and they are wearing...
The dresses are short, aren't they?
Short, tight dresses. I'm like, man, these are kids.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems a little much.
I've got three girls on deck, and I know Jared's just like kind of rocking back and forth in his chair trying to figure out how we're going to go about this thing. Maybe it'll change by then. Probably not. My son got a nice little outfit from Men's Warehouse in Edwardsville. Looking forward to posting some of those pictures over the course of this weekend. Stick around. Next question. Next segment. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.